Postman Pat and his black and white cat are heading to superstardom, baby. It's Postman Pat the movie for this episode of that song from that movie. I know, I'm the one. It's time to see if
you're the one.
Thank you for joining that song from that movie, The Journey for the Very Best and Worst of Movie Songs. I am your, yes, we are really covering Postman Pat, host Dietrich. And joining me is the man who believes speed, efficiency, ruling the world is the most important thing for a postman, Alex.
Yep. I mean, that is kind of where the world is going. It's a social critique, isn't it, this film?
We timed it perfectly.
Oh, yeah, we actually did kind of, yeah, with everything's going on.
Whoa, hang on. And completing the lineup is the man who is unwilling to state his opinion on the Horizon postal worker scandal, Ben.
Two words for you guys, Fujitsu.
Daihatsu.
That's a reference. Yeah. If anyone listening could get that reference.
Hey, we covered it on an episode, so, you know.
Calling back to a Mike Bassett joke.
One of our best episodes.
Yeah, but also one of the other films where I was like, why are they covering this?
The players on that episode were not great, but honestly, guys, it's one of our best episodes.
Go back, listen.
Anyway, I'll move on.
I would like to know, in the past fortnight, what have you been watching?
Cha-cha-cha. Did I watch anything? I did. I went to the cinema. Yeah.
You actually went to the cinema?
I actually did go
Wait,
to the cinema.
Wait, was this a BYOB?
A BYOB, a bring your own beer.
Did you bring,
oh, no, bring, your,
did
baby.
You bring your own baby?
No, it wasn't a bring your own baby.
You can take a beer to the baby showing as well, I'm sure. It's the extra B.
Bring your own baby and beer. I went to see Priscilla, which...
Yeah, any good?
I thought it was very good. Obviously, it's Sofia Coppola, so it is what you would expect it to be. It's very stylish, but it's very slow and very...
She does not like pace.
It's not very action-oriented. The thing is, if you compare it directly to the Baz Luhrmann Elvis, it couldn't be further apart in terms of the pace of it. But I think, in a lot of ways, was better as a film. It's not as fun, I would say. But if you would indirectly compare it, then the story of this one is more compelling. And... yeah, you know, I would recommend it. It's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but
no. Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I also finally watched Barbie for the first time, and
thoughts?
It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah,
yeah. Well, there's nothing more to say. Nothing more to add. It's because of great songs.
Why have we not done Barbie yet?
Because we do the Oscars.
Well, because I haven't seen it, I suppose.
Oh yeah, there is that. But then we do the Oscar.
There's no way we're just going to condense Barbie into the Oscar episode because it could cover a full episode at least.
Well, I mean, what is it going to be? All the Barbie songs plus that one Diane Warren song from Flaming Hot.
Nice.
I think we can get that into one episode.
Could be you, Diane. Could be your year.
Unlikely.
No. I watched a very similar film to Priscilla. Godzilla Minus One.
Ooh, what did you think?
Like Elvis. No. I don't know what it means to say the best Godzilla film I've ever seen.
We know on this podcast that you have seen Godzilla 1998, so...
I've seen many Godzilla
films. It's a high bar to beat.
It was weird to see a Godzilla film in which an advert before the film was for a different Godzilla film. That was very jarring.
That's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah, it was actually awesome. It was really, really good. I thought it was weird to see lots of showings at my local, I guess, Cineplex for a Japanese Godzilla film. I can see why. It was absolutely rammed as well. So yeah, definitely keep an eye out for that one. I also, in the theme of animation, probably...
Come on, Ben, you had to go see it. Come on, tell me.
I had to see it. It's amazing. Yeah, The Boy and the Heron, which is the new Miyazaki film. And probably his last. Although he said that, I think, 3 times. Although the man has to die at some point. Yeah, I would definitely, if you like animation, it's a slight upgrade, maybe. Slight upgrade on Postman Pat.
Well, we'll get into that.
Well, foreshadowing there.
It's more of a grown-up animation, just like the Postman Pat movie.
Just like the Postman Pat film. I mean, a lot of the jokes in this film go over the kids' head, don't
they? Yeah, probably.
I thought I'd mention a couple of films that I watched. I watched Chicken Run, Dawn of the Chicken Nugget.
Mm-hmm. Any good?
Well, and I also watched Hidden Figures.
Oh, yeah.
Now, one of these is a soulless, boring, unnecessary movie. And the other one is Hidden Figures, thankfully.
Because I could have gone in.
I was like, ooh, careful. Where are we going?
Just sweating.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweating.
No, yeah, I thought Hidden Figures was like just an absolutely fascinating movie. I loved it, and it really washed out the Chicken Run 2 taste from my mouth. Because you put that on the poster. Not a phrase I think anyone said. Have you guys seen Chicken Run 2?
No, I refuse to watch it.
Don't watch it. It's awful. It's just lifeless. It never justifies its existence. It doesn't feel like an actual sequel.
It's Aardman. It is, yeah. Which is, I mean, like, it must have taken them like forever to make it.
Well, to be fair though, I think, what was the football one they did?
Yeah.
Mean Machine.
The one set in like, no. The cave.
Yeah. What was it called?
Like the one with the cavemen.
That was all. I mean, I saw that. That was pretty shit as well. It was pretty shit. No.
Yeah, it was fine. And now to move on to an equally great British animation.
Because we need to talk
film.
About decent animation.
So this one's a special delivery for our listeners. It's the songs of Postman Pat the movie. Mm. So to find out what was happening in the world when the movie came out.
Time for some history.
It's me. I'm introducing it, doing the history. So this is a very British piece of history, which probably a lot of people are not going to care about. Johnny Wilkinson played his last game of pro ruggers, helping Toulon win the Heineken Cup.
At what age do you think where you could do the Johnny Wilkinson like conversion maneuver and people would be like, what the fuck are you doing? Or even just the pose of like stick your ass out, sort of bend forward and like cover one fist with your other hand. It looked like you were in sort of the shitting position.
I think the youngest you can go is probably like 27.
27 and they still get it.
Yeah, I think that's a push.
It's a push. What were you hearing when you were walking around in 2014?
Ooh, 2014. We were 20. How old were we? 23? Fuck, I was listening to 23. Something Katy Perry wears.
Well, that's not one on my list. I mean, possibly.
I was always listening to Katy Perry.
Stay With Me by Sam Smith was number one in the UK charts. Right, but you may also have heard Song from a Film, Happy by Pharrell. You may have heard Fancy by Iggy Azalea and Charlie XCX. You may have heard Let It Go by Adele Dazeem.
The brief stroke that John Travolta had.
And if you were going to the cinema, you may have been getting, you will have been getting a lot of superhero fixes because The Amazing Spider-Man 2, X-Men, Days of Future Past, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
God, is that how far it came? Bloody hell.
And of course, everyone's favourite local hero, Postman Pat.
Ah, yes.
So yeah, 3D animated film based on the original stop-motion TV series created by John Cunliffe. God, that could have come out.
That almost went very wrong.
And Ivor Wood. And Ivor Wood is his real name.
Brilliant.
The film stars the voices of Stephen Mangan, Jim Broadbent, David Tennant, Rupert Grint, and follows everyone's favourite postie as he traverses the effects of newfound fame after entering a talent show to win a trip to Italy for his wife. I feel like at some point we're going to have to explain the plot to this film because a lot of people will not understand anything and will not go and watch this film. So we'll do that in a sec. But what are your thoughts, Benedy, on a postcard?
On a postcard? Okay. For the guise of it specifically being a kid's film, it won over my initial scepticism.
How?
Yeah, because like it's a pretty, it's modern, but it's a pretty cheap looking CGI remake, really. Yeah, yeah. And as you've sort of alluded to, most of the plot doesn't really seem to be about being a postman whatsoever.
Not at all.
No, well, some of it is.
The first like 5 minutes, maybe.
Postbots.
Postbots, the best thing about this film.
Yeah, I was skeptical about the whole thing, especially because like references are quite contemporary for the time, but now feel really dated, like Pop Idol, X Factor, whatever. It felt like it was a recipe for disaster, but I thought it was quite watchable. There's some decent gags. And it was a bit scary for kids. But yeah, just a simple 80-minute movie that I feel like I got my money's worth from.
And you paid nothing for it.
Your money's worth, you paid nothing.
Exactly.
Can't complain.
You know what, if we watched this in a few weeks' time, I would have got adverts for this and that might have sent me over the edge.
So Ben, why do you think this film is better than The Boy and the Heron?
You know what? There was a point when I put this on and I thought, fuck, you know, Postman Pat. My wife walks in and I'm like, what the fuck are you watching? I'm like, yeah, I am watching Postman Pat. And then she left me. It was the final straw. Another Postman Pat related divorce. And this time it wasn't directly because of him and his adultery. It was literally about 30 seconds into the film. I was like, for fuck's sake, why am I watching this fucking film? I felt like I was watching it for... I think it was probably because I think I'd seen The Boy and the Heron like a day or two before. And I was like, fucking hell, animation's incredible, isn't it? And then I'm dealt this blocky sort of school project of a film. I kind of settled into it a bit. And like this podcast, we're talking about songs in movies. When these songs came on, they just could not give a shit about animating mouths. I've seen cartoons from the 70s animate like speaking better. It felt like they had two motions, mouth open, mouth closed. Or actually four motions, mouth open, mouth closed, teeth, no teeth. And that's all they went with.
I agree with that. Like the whole film is pretty cheap looking.
Also, coming into the plot, I feel like there's something about animations and vexing me sometimes. Coming to the plot, I got to the point where I'm like, all right, you know what? This is a movie for three-year-olds. It's fine, Ben. Stick with it. I go to the bathroom and don't pause it. Come back 2 or 3 minutes later. I haven't got a clue what's going on.
It's that cerebral.
The plot has gone all over the place. I'm expecting, oh yeah, you know what? He's going to start doing some stuff around the village, go on some crazy hijinks.
Yep.
I've now got a kid breakdancing on a talent show. That segment goes on for a long time. I'm like, where has Pat gone?
Is this a different show?
Turns out he's not there. He's watching this on TV. Like we're all stuck in some sort of weird Clockwork Orange moment where I'm just forced to watch a film within a film. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where it's going. It was at that point where I thought this film is an absolute shill because it's just trying to make me watch another talent show.
There was no redemption.
There was nothing else. The only thing, actually, like I say, that I did get a few laughs when Pat Bott re-delivered a letter to a girl in a wheelchair because it didn't happen. He hadn't paid the right stampage.
Yeah, her letter to Santa.
And then he also kicked the football away with his car. I think this film could have done slightly better with a few expletives, but otherwise, no, it was fucking shit.
Yeah.
Also, do I have to expect that children are going to listen to this? Do I need to censor myself?
Nope.
All right, okay, fuck it. You know what, kids, don't watch this film. Go watch Priscilla.
I feel like Alex is about to give some like gushing appraisal of this film about how amazing it is.
You know what, D? As I, like I say, 30 seconds in, I thought this was shit. A minute in, I thought, D's going to love this.
So I can't tell if that's a compliment or not.
I'm taking it as one.
Yeah, take it. So, I mean, having seen this film next to 9,000 times, I do have thoughts.
At some point, you have to go into full critical appraisal when you've watched this film that many times. You have to put a different lens on.
Yes, well, from a critical sense, I don't think this is a great film. I have to agree that the animation is pretty, pretty bad. It doesn't feel like we did Shrek, didn't we, a few months ago? And that was from like 2001. And the animation in Shrek, I know it's a big budget, a bigger budget film, although both are DreamWorks. It is so much better, and it is 13 years junior to this film. Yeah. I don't understand why this looks so poor.
It's no excuse to be this poor.
Yeah.
Like people can make better animation on their phones now than you could of probably films from the early 2000s. Toy Story 1 has better animation than this film.
Yes.
I'd say the chess thing that the Pixar made has better animation than this.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it's not just the blobbiness, it's the lack of detail anywhere in the background, on the characters themselves. There's just nothing to really look at. And at times, because of that, it becomes a bit creepy, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Greendale is like a barren landscape most of the time. Especially that bit with the train at the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It looks like they've not animated it properly, like they've done like some sort of CAD-CAM thing, and the train goes up and down at different points as if they've not put the tracks level.
Yeah. Have you two ever seen Veggie Tales before? Is that what it was called, with those weird vegetables singing?
Yes. I know exactly what you mean.
Like with it. Where is my hairbrush? That's the song. From. Yes. Anyway, it looks like that. Which I think, again, was a lot earlier than this film. The main problem from a critical sense, again, is not just the animation. I think it does lose what made Postman Pat what it was.
Absolutely.
You know, it has a rural everyday charm to it. You know, the things that happen in Greendale in the TV show are very minor. Like someone might lose a hat and pass to find a way to deliver it, or there might be a storm and a tree falls down and he has to find out how to get around a tree. And all of a sudden he's thrust into this world that just makes no sense for him to be part of, which is the talent show circuit and doing interviews on coffee shows and stuff. And it felt like they were like sat down, like, we were doing a Postman Pat film, so how do we scale it upwards? Instead of doing that by just thinking, let's take an episode and make it, you know, bigger, which is probably the logical thing to do. They were like, no, let's take the story into such a ridiculous place that it makes literally no sense. And it's not just the talent show stuff. It's also the killer robots. Why are there killer robots? Left the room for 10 minutes and came back and there's just a swarm of killer robots, you don't understand the look. There's no steps between that make sense in this film.
They look like they're setting it up for like an episodic, like the Pat goes to the factory and they're saying, you know, we don't need friendly postmen, yes, we just need speed. And I was like, okay, so it's going to be about like how he shows it being authentic and being a genuine human being is what people need. And that would have been an absolutely fine and probably quite a good story. 2 minutes later, I'm going to almost sacrifice my marriage to try and win her a holiday to Italy.
Which I won't tell her about.
Yes. Which I won't also tell her about. I'm about to have my wife leave me, but I need to keep this a secret because I'm trying to win her a holiday to Rome.
Yeah, and like by 20 minutes into the film, you've forgotten why he hasn't told her. Like, it doesn't make sense anymore. Like, at some point it made sense that he didn't tell her. But then it's like, he's surely made enough money now by doing all these interviews. He could probably just afford to pay for the holiday. He doesn't need his bonus anymore. The whole thing loses complete sense at that point. But having said that, my children do seem to love this film and they cannot take their eyes off it. There's something hypnotic. There just must be something hypnotic about it that works for children. Because like, I read a lot of the critical reviews and they were very negative, as you can imagine. They picked out all the same things that we've picked out. Because I think that they are very glaring issues. But I don't know.
If you were to do a top 5 films right now for your children, where does this stand?
So top 5 films would definitely include this. This would be up there in the top 2. Probably over Christmas.
Top 2.
The Grinch. The Benedict Cumberbatch Grinch film, which again I have seen.
Okay. But is that not a yearly thing that's going to go out?
No, it started in like October.
Okay.
Toy Story 1, 2, 3, and 4.
No, Alex.
No, Ben. Toy Story 4
gonna have
is
words.
Very popular.
We're going to have words.
Forky. They like words. Forky, Ben. Forky is liked.
Oh, fucking Forky. Fuck off.
Children like Forky, Ben. Accept it. And in terms of films, that's kind of it. Paddington. Paddington 1 and 2.
Okay, good taste. Good taste. Well done, guys. Well done.
So those are the kind of films that we watch on repeat in this house. So, you know, there's some good ones. There's some Postman Pats. But the thing is, once you've seen it that many times, you do latch on to the good parts, and the good parts are the songs, which we are going to come to, and I will not hear anything bad said about them. But anyway, you'll be surprised to learn that there isn't much out there in the world about this film. So there's not many more notes, but it did make £8 million at the worldwide box office. I couldn't find a budget anywhere.
Worldwide?
Yeah. The funny thing is, X-Men Days of Future Past, which came out the same week, and it was obviously the number one that week, made more in week one than this film made in total.
Well, that's understandable.
But I found a
you can imagine the executives in the boardroom of Postman Pat like, this was supposed to be our competitor.
Mr. Carbuncle, just there. Yeah. So one thing I did find out, because it was... I was trying really hard to find stats for this film.
Hi, Future Dietrich here. So that is the sound of Alex's microphone just cutting out, and it stays that way for quite a while. So I'll just explain what he was about to say. So he somehow found out through the magic of the internet that Postman Pat is inexplicably the 8,042nd most successful film at the box office ever. I just thought I'd let you know that because it does come up later in the episode. It's a weird fact, right? So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take you forward to the songs. There's 3 songs in the film. There's With You, Lightning, and Really Happy Postman. And Alex is about to talk about the very first of all those, which is Lightning.
Lightning, performed by Rupert Grint, of course, of Ron Weasley fame, who is in this film.
Ron Weasley.
Which is odd in itself. He plays... Pat's biggest competition in this musical talent show called You're the One. And what do we think about this number? It is trimmed in the film and is edited quite weirdly, but there is a full version out there. So the guys have listened to both versions.
Yes, if I didn't already know that Ollie Alexander was doing this year's Eurovision Song Contest for the UK, I would suggest that Rupert Grint should step up, because this whole song, like the style, that lame attempt at a sing-along chorus, the performance, the everything, it's giving like real Finnish 19th at Eurovision vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I was not a fan of this song. If it'd be my decision,
Thank God.
And I should have been on that panel, I would have put AJ through to the final instead.
You mean train work?
They're called. Yeah, yeah.
Christ.
Oh, thank God. It was, again, you know when I said a minute into this film, I was like, Dee's going to love this film. About 30 seconds into the song, I was like, oh, fuck's sake, Dee's going to love this song. Thank God, Dee. I tell you what, you know, Rupert Grint's attempt at doing like an early Justin Bieber, or what was the guy that was supposed to sound like Zac Efron, but it wasn't Zac Efron in High School Musical. He sounded like that guy.
Yeah. I know you mean the guy who did the actual vocal.
Who did the voice of Zac Efron, yeah. But wasn't Zac Efron.
Oh, right. Yeah, that guy.
That's what it sounds like.
We should cover High School Musical.
We should.
No, God, let's have a break first between these.
Post about straight into High School Musical.
Yeah. I thought this was pretty shocking.
Shockingly good?
No. Well, I mean, a song about... I like to think of it when he was going through it, that it was a song about the cider. That's what I like to think.
If you
think if you listen to the song and think that he's singing about like sitting on a bench drinking White Lightning, it has a bit of a twang to it. You know what? Rupert Grint has a decent voice.
Yeah, I was surprised it was actually him singing.
I still don't believe it. It doesn't sound like him at all.
No, it doesn't sound like
the fucking breakdowns that kid on is doing as well is so poorly animated. It's almost hard to listen to the song because it's so distracting. At some points, he's not even touching the floor.
It's so bad.
I know. Yeah. Some people may argue that that's a part of breakdancing. Mm. Not in this way. Not in this way.
It's so badly animated. The thing is, I mean, personally, I think this song is very, very catchy. And when I listen to that full version,
it was one of you. I thought I could rely on Alex.
I just think that D19th. I'm thinking top five for the UK if this went to Eurovision. Sorry, I do think that the version that is in the film.
If Rupert Grint was performing it, yes,
yes, yeah, because everybody's that guy from Harry Potter.
I love how many years on from Harry Potter now, he will always be the guy from Harry Potter.
It'd be weird if it was like somebody sat in like a house in Serbia going, it's the guy from Thunderpants.
It's the guy who bought that ice cream van. It's the guy from that Ed Sheeran video, you know, the thing.
Yeah. It's Ed Sheeran.
It's Ed Sheeran. I like that. But, right, so I've got to read this to you. So I was kind of, again, there's not much out there about any of the songs in this film. Shock.
Really?
Yeah, really. But, I mean, there was a lot of comments on the YouTube about how great the song was. But you guys...
Because it's Rupert Grint.
But I found someone... This is kind of a callback to when Dee used to do... Was it The Idiots at Genius?
Yes.
Someone has dissected the lyrics of the song and... It's quite long, but I'm going to read it.
Absolute madman.
So here we go. Lightning by Rupert Grint is a song about the singer's pursuit of a woman who is playing hard to get and warning her about the consequences of rejecting him. The song implies that the singer is confident, daring, and unstoppable, like lightning, and that anyone who messes with him will get struck down. The first verse suggests that the singer has a plan to seduce the woman by stealing her mind, and that he finds it easy to do so despite her doubts. The chorus warns the woman not to hide under any tree, which is a metaphor for avoiding danger, as lightning can strike anywhere. The second verse reveals that the singer... No, Ben, stop. The second verse reveals that the singer needs a little time away to cool out in the shade, which might mean he is willing to give the woman a break, but also implies that he is in control of the situation. The bridge suggests that the woman is crying for the singer, which could mean she regrets rejecting him, or that she fears him, or that she is simply moved by his power. The song ends with a series of ad-libs, including the sound of thunder, which reinforces the idea of the singer as a force of nature.
Was that on an incel message board?
Somebody wrote that. Somebody out there wrote that about this song.
I think that person needs to be put on a watch list because they've got some dangers to society.
I mean, come on, yeah.
Well, the big reveal is it was Alex the whole time.
I just like this part, which so The bridge suggests that the woman is crying for the singer, which could mean she regrets rejecting him, or that she fears him, or that she's simply moved by his power.
Incel.
It's like, incel. He's definitely giving incel vibes, which I didn't get listening to the song itself.
One of the main things I remember, if you listen to this song on the movie, it's fairly inoffensive. Yeah, you know what, you like it or you don't. If you listen to this in headphone, in stereo, there's multiple times through the song, there's fucking sonar. There's a sound. There's about 11 seconds in. I literally have to take my headphones off. It's like calling the whales. It's so distracting. Like, if you just... I don't know if you've got the song. If you listen, just play it now. At 11 seconds. I think it's 11 seconds. I put it as a timestamp. Just play it. There's fucking sonar.
It's got everything going on. We can't talk about it forever, as much as we would like to. So we'll move on to the second song, which is probably the song of the film in terms of it's clearly intended to be the best song, but we'll come on to that later. So Roddy Keaton does actually appear in the film before the first song.
Yeah, do you not remember that, Ben?
He played. Yeah, he I know, but Keaton, like, what the he? Fuck, when he came on, I was like, what?
Yes. There are some really offensive Irish jokes in that scene, which I feel like wouldn't be allowed today. But anyway, I'm not going to repeat them on this. But just another example of where this film really kind of misses every mark.
Can you imagine what is the world when we can't quote a Postman Pat line out of fear? It's too offensive.
That's the limit, I'm afraid.
Yeah, some of the stuff we said in that South Park episode, the line is Postman Pat.
Yeah. I don't remember this song from the time. Which feels weird. I feel like we should have at least heard it, but I don't remember. What are your guys' thoughts on this song?
This song is AI. This song is an AI production. If the first song was an incel production, we're going with that now. This one was completely made in a lab. Someone typed X Factor winner's song, and yes, it tried to mash them all up together and came up with this absolute tosh.
Yep.
Ronan Keaton can sing. He's got a fantastic voice. There's some points where he feels like he can't fit his voice in the line, and it actually does sound like AI. Like, it just drabs off. Like, someone's asked him to shift keys in just an unnatural way, and it's like an uncanny valley of a song.
Yeah, I should stress, actually, for those who haven't seen the film, which I'm sure is only a few people out there, in this, the scene that this song appears is Pat's performance in the competition, but his voice is inexplicably Ronan Keaton.
That did get a laugh out of me when his voice started.
Yeah, did they explain that?
Well, what's weird about it is that we'd already seen Ronan Keaton with the same voice, and because it's a very specific voice, like, he has a very distinctive sound. But it's like, it is a joke, but not, because I don't think they've intended it to be a joke. I just don't think they've really realized that Ronan Keaton's voice is so
distinctive. You don't think they've intended it, do you?
I think they've intended that it's a very good voice, like, for that to be the joke, but for it to be the same voice, I think they just thought, he's just got a very good voice. They didn't think, oh, both sound clearly like the same person, Ronan Keaton. And I don't think that was their intention. Maybe it was. For me, it doesn't. I think it's confusing. It's not confusing, but it's weird. I don't think it was the right thing to do to feature him earlier in the film.
Also, the fact that Simon Cowbell?
Simon Cowbell.
Yeah.
You know his name, man.
Doesn't he hate Ronan Keaton?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
And the person sounds exactly the same.
Yeah, and the song that Ronan Keaton sings is a much better song.
That's probably the most racist thing. A good old fashioned. Actually, is Postman Pat Welsh?
No.
Is he English? Is he proper British?
Yeah, you're thinking of Fireman Sam. Ponty Bendy.
Ah, Fireman Sam, isn't it? Fireman Sam.
Who I expected to pop up in this film.
They're not actually made by the same
You expected, what, like an absolute sort of like Nick Fury at the end saying, you know, we're exactly calling the Avengers. what would the British Avengers be called for this? Avengers. Who would be in it? Postman Pat. Fireman Sam.
Fireman Sam.
Ivor the Engine.
Bob the Builder.
Bob the Builder.
Noddy.
Oh yeah, Noddy with him.
Rosie and Jim.
The dog with Come Fly With Me, or what it was called.
Come Fly With Me. Oh, I know you mean. What was it called?
What was that show called? Come Outside.
Oh no, yeah, it was Come Outside. So come
what
down.
Was the fucking dog called in Come Outside? Pippin.
Pippin, yes. Well done, Ben. I think it's weird that Ronan Keaton's most complete performance is the singing voice of Postman Pat in a movie that most people don't even know exists. I appreciate that the song sounds like any X Factor winner's song. There is a part where you hear Dermot O'Leary saying, "The winner is Pat," before the key change.
I'm not here.
Exactly. It's a perfect aping of that slow, sloppy ballad style, which every Fame Academy winner was contractually obliged to release.
Fame Academy winner.
But yeah, the song's not very good, though. It doesn't stand up to "That's My Goal" by Shane Ward, and that's the gold standard.
How many Fame Academy winners can you name, D?
Well, at least two.
David Schneiden.
I can only name one.
What, David Schneiden?
That would be David Schneiden.
Yeah. What about Alex Parks?
Alex Parks.
And obviously Parks, Lamar came from Fame Academy.
Lamar didn't win, though.
Yeah, he didn't win.
He didn't win.
But he won a half.
Was Jamelia in Fame Academy?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. She was just excellent on her own.
I don't know why I'm thinking that. Just excellent on her own. Sorry, Alex, for putting her into the Fame Academy block.
How dare you? The song feels... I think this is part of the problem. Like, I think you said at the beginning, Dee, that like the references of they were of the time, but they feel out of date now. I actually feel like even then in 2014, doing this kind of send-up of talent shows was already too late.
Who won the X Factor that year? That'll give an idea of how in the zeitgeist it was.
Let me look this up. 2014.
Because if it was like Raksu, then it was too late.
It's post Matt Cardle, because Matt Cardle was 2012.
Ben Hay now.
Yeah. So there you go. It's on the downward.
You've got something I need.
Yeah, we're on the downward turn there. So I think it's too late for this, and I think this song sounds so out of date because it's actually mimicking songs from 10 years earlier, like
more
"That's My Goal,"
like Ben
Leona Lewis.
Who now? Ben who then?
I think the song is fine. It serves its purpose. I don't think it needs to be great. It serves its purpose as part of a ridiculous nonsense plot that makes no sense. But you know, both of these two songs act as a precursor for what might be the greatest song ever written. Or greatest song ever performed in a film.
Let's move on.
This is by far a highlight.
So let's move on to it. The third and final song comes inexplicably at the end, towards the end, very end of the film, where Pat is supposed to be performing the same song he performed earlier in the film in the final of the talent competition, but has been locked in a dressing room and been replaced by one of the evil Pat robots for some unknown reason. Doesn't really make sense why he needs to be replaced at this point for a robot to sing a different song in a different kind of performance. But hey, we're here for the ride by this point. We've been with the film for well over an hour. So just
it's an hour and a half.
Just embrace.
It's
not even that.
Where you are when you get there. So the song is Really Happy Postman. I'm not going to say anything about it other than it was written and performed by two people, Riley Friesman and Derek Mount, who are collectively known as Club Danger. And they describe themselves...
That track.
They describe themselves, and I had to find this separately because it's not listed on the soundtrack, they're just listed as by their names, but they do have like a SoundCloud and stuff. And they describe themselves as innovative pop/rock. Not pop rock, pop/rock.
Okay.
Yeah, innovative pop/rock. So what are your thoughts? Because as you can tell, I think this is a legit banger and I won't have anything else said about it.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here. This is a great song and you should have no shame in liking this song.
Nope.
If I didn't know this movie came out in 2014, I would have said that this was a time capsule from 2009. Like the song,
in fact,
it's more than a song. It's an ode to that golden summer of 2009.
Oh, yeah.
A real tribute to the OGs of the decade. A rose-tinted love letter to the heavy, heavy chapter that we all embraced. The era of LMFAO and their party rocking.
Yeah, it's so LMFAO.
If you told me T-Pain was singing this song, I'd have been like, yeah, definitely. Makes sense.
Well, the fact Alex just said that people who created and wrote this song and performed it were like pop rock. That's LMFAO. That's party rocking right there.
Yep.
I really love this song. It's been stuck in my head since I watched it. In fact, I think this song is so good, it's reverberating backwards through the film and making me go, actually, those bits that I thought were like enough to get like a smirk out of me, like actually made me laugh, but they didn't. Other than like the Patbot bit where you see the failed attempts, most of it was like, I get that joke. And now this song's so good, I'm like, yeah, that was a great film, wasn't it?
You need the rest of the film to make this high as it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the end of It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. You know, like you're like, yeah, I could just watch the final scene, but you know what? If you watch the full thing, it just makes that last bit even more sweeter.
Exactly.
And this is it. This is why we needed to cover this film, because you make it through, you trudge through the nonsense, and you get to this climactic scene, and it's a high that's never been felt before in your life when this comes.
It's a reward.
It's the reward.
We've had the incel national. We've had the incel national anthem. We've had an AI Shane Ward song, and now we get this.
I mean, it's not just how good the song is. Some of the lyrics in this song are so inappropriate.
I hope they're innuendos. I hope they're innuendos.
Hey, right, so here we go. So, I'm on the tip top, cream of crop, won't stop, never drop, until I fill your mailbox. Now, if that is not an innuendo, then I don't know what it is.
For any of our American listeners, Alex, would you like to describe what a box might be?
No, I'm okay. I think they probably got that. I think they probably worked it out.
Do Americans even know what a postman is?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, mailman. They have mailman.
Yeah, they've like seen the postman with Kevin Costner.
Somehow worse film than this one.
But think of I was about to say. This is better than the apocalyptic Kevin Costner film.
I mean, that is not the only innuendo in there, but it's the best one. You hear that the first time, you're like, oh, yeah, it's an innocent song. Because the first thing as well is that like, this can't have been written for this film. It sounds like it's LMFAO. Why did they do a film song for this film? But then you hear the lyrics and it's like, no, but the song is about Postman Pat. It says Greendale, it says Postman Pat. But then it has that line in it. And it's like, but what is it doing? Like, who is it for? Well, it's for everyone, I suppose, deep down. But it's one of those things that just, the song just will stick with me for as long as I live.
Yep.
I think it's that good.
Honourable mentions for Them Birds Be Singing.
Yeah.
The Day Beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Knock Ring Ding-a-Ling. Tiny Package from Beijing.
Tiny Package from Beijing.
What is that commenting on?
Hey, it's up to interpretation.
Well, yes.
Leave that for the listener to decide.
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. That bit especially, I was like, what the fuck are you on about? I think you can like this song fully, truly, but also you could love it ironically because it is so balls to the wall. It was like they'd closed up for the day and just handed the keys to the night porter to be like, lock up. And they were like, they turned on the lights and just started messing with it. They have added a certain level, an extra note to this film.
I do enjoy that on the YouTube video that's uploaded for this song. Have you seen the caption on the video?
No, I don't think I have.
It says, the movie is kind of shy, but this song is good.
Well, if there's ever a review to end on, that's perfect.
Oh, and all the comments echo that same thought.
But where is it? Like, why did this song not make it out into the mainstream charts? Because it is that good.
It's not on Spotify.
I know it's not on Spotify because the soundtrack is not on Spotify. They're only the musical soundtrack. This song should be everywhere.
Yeah.
And it should be because it already is everything. So it should be everywhere. And everyone should hear it because it's simply that good.
Top 5. Now, Alex, right at the start, and thank God you did. You were saying Postman Pat, bit of a superhero.
Oh, yeah.
Different kind of superhero. He's an average Joe superhero. And that got me thinking, what are the best average Joe action movies? So this is where it's just the average person, day to day, just minding their own business, and then they're thrown into, not a talent show, but something with a bit more guns. So these are the best average Joe action movies. So we're not talking some sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger, huge, ridiculous person. This is just, I'm a regular office worker, or I'm just a stay-at-home dad. And then they're thrust into, you know, ridiculousness.
Okay.
Now, these are all films you've definitely seen.
Let's get it out of the way. Postman Pat the movie.
It was not on a single list.
It's not an end list anywhere except the worldwide box office list and it's number 8,000.
Wasn't even on the top 5 Postman Pat movies.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I mean, the one that's seemingly obvious to me would be... Would Die Hard count?
that seemed like the obvious pick.
See, that's the thing. So Die Hard was on one list, and then someone got a lot of people got very angry and saying, no, he's a policeman.
Because he's a policeman.
That's not an average Joe.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, he's used to the line of action. So these are people who, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, there's always that scene where they're like, what do you want me to do? I'm just a... insert very menial job.
The Matrix?
No, it doesn't count Matrix, I guess, because he kind of becomes a proper superhero.
Oh, The Fugitive.
Number one, D! It is in all...
Really?
Yeah, it is. It was in the most lists. Well done. Well, fantastic, D. I'm proud, D. 2024 starting off well.
Thank you.
Therefore, not for me.
Pick up the pace, Alex. Come on.
Come on, Alex.
There's a film, wasn't there, recently, like, with Ryan Reynolds? Was it called, like, Fall Guy or something?
Yeah, it was. I'll go through, give you some help. All right, one very, very famous film. There's scenes that are pastiched or memed or honoured in loads of films, TV shows, probably Family Guy, Simpsons. I think there's an actual Family Guy episode based on this entire film. We're talking early days Family Guy, so you've definitely seen it. Man is confused to be someone else. Very old
Freaky
film.
Freaky Friday.
Very old film. Alex, maybe points towards you.
North by Northwest.
Yes, North by Northwest. Yeah. There you go, number two.
Are there any more like Hitchcock stuff in there? Because like, there's a lot of his that are kind of similar.
There wasn't any. No, I think people just seem to go to North by Northwest. The third on the list, very good film, understated, but has a man in it who was one of the biggest action stars of all time, and now nobody likes him because he punched a guy.
So Will Smith, I, Robot. I Am Legend.
I, Robot. He's a cop.
I Am Legend. I don't know. One of those two films.
Does Men in Black count?
No. Men in Black, because his job becomes superheroes.
Yeah. What, even in I Am Legend?
I Am Legend is not, it doesn't really become, it's just like,
he takes on loads of zombies.
The Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah, that's the one. No. Action movie. It's got John Voight in it. Have you never seen Enemy of the State?
No.
Have you never seen Enemy of the State? Go watch Enemy of the State. It's very similar to Postman Pat in many ways. Fourth, Man Curls Bullets.
Oh my god, Wanted. How is that made any list?
Because we've seen how fucking ridiculous. He is an office guy, isn't he?
I'd go as far as to say Postman Pat is better than Wanted.
Yeah, but no, but he's from like a secret order of spies and stuff.
But he still works in an office.
Yeah, but so does Neo at the beginning of The Matrix.
There's a bit where he goes back to work in the office and hits the guy with the
keyboard.
Keyboard.
Yeah.
Does it have to be a positive story? Like, could it be Falling Down?
See, I thought Falling Down, but I don't think it considered it like an action movie, which is weird.
Yeah, that's
the
weird.
Next one. Now, this was in three lists. Now, I think this is a bit of an odd, mainly because the main guy isn't really. It's a Taxi Driver. The film is not Taxi Driver.
Oh, it's the one with Jamie Foxx and
that's the
Tom
one.
Cruise.
Oh, Collateral.
Collateral.
There you go. You got all five. Does that count? Does it fuck? Do you got one? Fugitive, well done. You're £5 in the post.
Thank you.
Keep you going until next week.
Just for prosperity's sake, then, we'll do Best Song of Postman Pat the Movie. Alex, what's the best song of Postman Pat the Movie?
It's Really Happy Postman. And it's maybe the best song we've done so far this year.
Ben, what's the best song of Postman Pat the Movie?
Really Happy Postman.
Thank you. Dietrich, what's the best song of Postman Pat the Movie? Really Happy Postman. Thank you. Moving on. That's the end of the show.
You know, Postman Pat the Movie has been sitting, hovering over us for a long time.
Yes.
We know this is what the one that people have been asking for.
It has.
And so we finally got it out of the way.
Yeah.
This was our Citizen Kane.
So that brings it into another episode of That Song from That Movie. Let us know which song your favourite is and why it's Real Happy Postman on one of our many social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, another one, Blue Sky. I think that's all of them. I don't know. Alex, what's our social media handle?
It's TSFTM Pod.
What the fuck is Blue Sky?
So you can help the podcast in many ways, and one of those ways is by sharing this on a random subreddit. But Ben, what random subreddit should they share it on this week?
Ooh, I think the Thunderpants subreddit.
That makes sense.
So you can also help the podcast by signing up to our Patreon, buying our merch, or telling your friends about the podcast. And if you listen to this the first time and you've not subscribed and you enjoyed it, subscribe. All the links to the various things are in the show's notes. So what's up now is do some goodbyes. So it's goodbye from myself. Goodbye. And goodbye from Alex.
Hail from Greendale. I hail from Greendale. Your fools can't compete. You're weak. I'm strong. I'm king. You're Kong. This postman is bringing the heat.
And goodbye from Ben.
R.I.P. Ken Barry.
So, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
So it's funny that Postman Pat's catchphrase is, "I feel I'm a really happy man." And I saw somewhere someone having an existential conversation about the fact that he feels he's a happy man.
Do you think he's owed any compensation in the scandal?
Almost definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, he was literally attacked by robots.